This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back to a special Saturday edition of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. You just heard exclusively right here on the Big 870 WWL the full press conference with Kellen Moore in its entirety, him talking about the Kellen Moore situation, when he knew, when he didn't know about the situation with the retirement of Derek Carr, which happened about 9 o'clock this morning, breaking here in the city. Ian Rappaport was the first to report it, and then, man, it spread all over, and then the Saints put it out, and then comments certainly from Derek Carr. On our Oakland Huatulas talk and text line, we have on with us Mike Haas, who is at the Saints facilities. And Mike, just we'll find out all the details about when the Saints sort of knew everything, but just reading between the lines and what Kellen was talking about, I think Coach really kind of told you that, okay, we had some knowledge about he had a shoulder injury, but the seriousness of it is recent. I think you can read, and he basically kind of said that the seriousness of this shoulder injury really was kind of recent news for them.
Yeah, when he was asked about when did you know about the Carr injury, he said March. So we don't know what, because he never really said it when he knew the severity of it. When he was talking about in the kind of the precipice to the retirement, that felt like it happened quickly in the last
yes.
week or so. Because think about it, this whole thing has occurred in less than a month. April 11th was when it came out about Carr's shoulder. May 10th, retired. So in less than a month. So, but to me, I don't know the severity of what he knew in March, but I will say this. I do not think he felt Derek Carr was going to be in that quarterback room this season. Because of the March comment, and also today's May 10th, he retired. They never met face to face.
Yep.
That's a little,
that's
right?
Telling.
I mean, I know it can kind of happen a lot of different ways when there's no blame. I mean, he was here for the Super Bowl for a week, but Derek wasn't, and he was going on a pro day, so they missed each other. But I don't know. That to me, just kind of, you know, is just another little kind of layer of this from March to April to May to, you know, torn labrum, degenerative rotator cuff, that, you know, it's too much to come back at this age, and then, you know, battle three young guys who, you know, one of which is the coach's draft pick at the 40th spot.
Mike, one of the things that popped in my mind when you talked about, you know, them not meeting, and I do think that that is telling, is when Dennis Allen became the head coach of the Saints, he makes a trip out to California to meet with Michael Thomas. And how we knew about it initially, Bobby's daughter was on the plane with Coach, and he was laughing because he told us the story about, man, you know, and she kept looking at me, and finally, all of a sudden, you're Coach Dennis Allen? Yeah, I'm Bobby Hebert's daughter. And he was en route to meet Michael Thomas, and Mike was coming off of the surgery that he had had, but he made a special trip to California to meet Michael Thomas. This wasn't the case with Kellen Moore, and I think you got that right, that he really felt he was not going to be a part of this room, quarterback-wise.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't. Again, we don't know what anybody knew about severity in March, but he wasn't throwing, and, you know, we didn't learn anything more about it pre-draft from Mickey or Kellen. And they just said the clarity would come soon, and it did. I mean, if you'd have told me on April 11th this whole thing would end in less than a month, I would have been very surprised, very surprised.
Mike, one of the things with the rookie minicamp, and we'll kind of swing it that way because so much of the conversation has been about the Derek Carr retirement is, and I told this to Tommy Tucker Thursday, this isn't about physical play, okay? Man, I know them guys can play. I got a six-year-old granddaughter that can tell you, man, that guy's pretty good on the field, isn't he? She can spot that. This rookie minicamp is really orientation, more on the mental side of things. And they don't give it to you like they do, like maybe in high school or in college, teaspoon-wise. This is tablespoon to see how quickly you can adapt to the NFL, adapt to changes. You may play right corner one time, left corner the next. You play in the slot. He talked about Kelvin Banks, you know, and the positioning across the board. This is more of a mental test to the rookies and undrafted free agents and guys that haven't signed that they're taking a look at. This is more or less the kind of aptitude test on how quickly you can adapt to the NFL, not physically, because we know you can play. It's the mental part of things, because you got to know what the hell you're doing 100% of the time, not 20, not 50, not 60. You got to know what you're doing, because I got to trust you when I put you out on that football field.
Couldn't agree more. And Kelvin Banks, a perfect example, played across the offensive line. Kellum has asked, will Fulaga do the same thing when they start with a veteran? He said, well, this is really just kind of about the rookie, but you want to see him at left guard, right guard. What's that body type look? What's his feet work, you know, in those situations? It's not free time, right? It all counts, and you don't have a lot of time because of the CBA, but you have it. Let me see it. Right? Let me put him in the slot. Put him at left guard. Put him at right guard. Put him at right tackle. Let's see what it looks like. But you're right. It is about, it's like for Tyler Shuck, it's about the command of the huddle. You know, how's he picking up things? What does he go into that huddle? Like, this is my huddle. Because the fact of the matter is, in 2 days, they've had 1 7-on-7 each day. That's the competitive nature of what a rookie minicamp is. When people ask, well, how did X look? Well, they had 1 7-on-7 yesterday and 1 7-on-7 today. So, in shorts. So, it's hard to tell. But, as part of your question, it takes another leap forward tomorrow, which is the final rookie camp. And then Monday becomes phase three, OTA with veterans. Now you're in class. Now it's the next step. It's more classroom. How do you adapt? How do you, you know, now you're with the veterans now. And so then it's all of a sudden it'll be, you know, veteran minicamp, you know, will be upon us in June. And we'll start talking about training camp and, you know, the roster, as Kellen said today, will change. You know, we're right around the 90 mark, but in the next 2-3 weeks, you know, heading into what will be minicamp, mandatory, the roster will change some. And so, but you're right. This is about learning to be a pro, right? Class starts at 8. Are you there at 8:15? Are you there at 7:40? Right? Who are you? and that foundation and the foundation of the offense, which is being installed. And because as we started this, I don't think that he ever anticipated that Carr would be back, that it has not set back anything for this offense and laying the foundation for the verbiage and everything with his offensive scheme.
Mike, if you 8:15 for an 8 o'clock meeting, you have not gotten off to a good start with me. If I'm the head coach, man, your butt is in a sling real quick. No, listen, right. I might be old school about that, but you're not strolling in here at no 8:15 for an 8 o'clock meeting. You got to understand, you no longer on scholarship. You got to earn this. Now, early round draft choices always get a little bit more leeway than later round guys or undrafted free agents. But if I'm a coach, I could care. Once you in camp, I could care less where you got picked. It's about you helping me and this team win games. That's the bottom line. It's a bottom line business. It's a bottom line sport. And I think for a young coach who's never been a head coach before, that is something that is crucial. Because I've talked to a couple of former NFL coaches and guys that have been through that spot. They was like, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I'd have been much tougher off the bat to make sure they understand, hey, you got me now in a situation where you gotta perform, because if you don't, I'm fired, and you're going to be playing right somewhere else or out of the league. Right. And I think that is something with Kellen Moore, being a former player, understands all about.
And you look at a franchise that for so many years was the model of stability, and in 4 years we've had four coaches and eight quarterbacks, right? What in the world? So you're right. Come training camp time, I don't care who's who, because – I gotta put the people on the field that help me keep my job. And in the process, we win games. But I got to put the people on the field that are going to help me keep my job, and then we win games. Because there's no five-year plan. There's no – you look at any NFL coach. It's win now. He's young. He's probably going to have a little longer, you know, rope just because of the youth. And kind of like you say, it's kind of a soft – rebuild, but very much needed. But you're right. Being a player, and you know, you can be 8:15 once, and that's it. You don't get number two. This is big boy time.
Yeah, if you're number two on 8:15, you playing for somebody else. You ain't playing for me.
Yeah.
Okay. You ain't Lawrence Taylor. Now, I might cut Lawrence a little bit of a slack when he was playing in that sort of thing. But, man, I'll never forget Belichick telling the story when they were doing the top 100 players ever in the National Football League, and him telling the story about that he started the meeting 10 minutes late. He did not wait for Lawrence Taylor to come to the meeting. He started it. And so he's telling this to Parcells, who's the head coach. And he's like, well, it's your fault, Belichick. You should have waited for LT, you know. But, okay, those type of guys, yeah, you're willing to kind of cut them a little bit of slack, because you know meetings for them is sort of like practice. It's for the unskilled. But for the other guys, it's so, so important. Mike, I did quite hear it. But what exactly was the injury with Quincy Riley, the cornerback from Louisville?
He did not say. It was just it was like a minor procedure. They knew before the draft it wasn't the ankle or the injury that he had at Louisville. It was like, you didn't miss anything. You got it all. It just wasn't very elaborated on. It sounded very minor. It was the best time to take care of it, to take care of the procedure. So, it's a big room and a lot of questions coming, but we just know that it was not here.
Okay, on that particular deal, one of the things I'll ask, I don't know how much you watched of the practice sessions itself, but one of the things Archie Manning and I were talking about this, because Archie said, you know, what you see with Tyler Shuck, you know, how he is in the pocket. One of the things I noticed with him, and no matter where he played, now he was a little bit more skittish, I thought, at Oregon and Texas Tech than he was last year at Louisville. And I understand that particular part. he's a bit of a drifter. He'll drift a little left, a little right, and then, yup, right over the top. The ball comes out, and it comes out fast. He's got a real quick delivery, and the ball comes out of his hand really quick, but he stays kind of in that box a little bit. You know, he's a little left, a little right, and then that read is out of there and fast, and it's getting to the receiver, if it's a wide out, a tight end, or running back, really quickly because of the way it leaves his hand. And what you saw is, would that be something you also witnessed in the practice sessions?
That's hard. You don't see enough. We haven't seen enough yet of body of work, right? I think what the answer to that question will be, the drifting left, right, whatever, is what is your pocket presence, right? Can you feel it? Do you know where it is? Do you know, if you're going to drift left, you got somebody coming off, you know, the left tackle? What is your pocket presence like? Because you know who else drifted? He drifted for a different reason. It's Drew Brees.
Yep.
He drifted because he was looking for that lane, and he won 6'5", right? So yeah, Chuck can drift in. Hey, if that's the quality that you share with Drew Brees, well, I'm all for it. But if you drift but you're not, you don't have good pocket presence and you're drifting into trouble, that's different. So it's too early, but it's something to watch, right? I mean, I think the quick release, he certainly doesn't need to do it to find an open lane. Maybe it's something that makes him comfortable, but that pocket presence in the NFL, because it's 1-2 bang, and if it's not, you're in trouble. So I think that's what we'll have to wait and see when they really start putting the pads on. If it's something that is material, the drifting, or if it's something that is not.
You know, one of the things is that I'm okay with the drifting part. You know who drifted to? Not only Drew, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was the world-class drifter, a little left, a little right, and the ball came out. And it's going to be hard to tell in these sessions because you don't have people in your face, so to speak, kind of rushing that throw. And a lot of times in college, you do have 1,001, 1,002, throw it. In the NFL, you do have the 1,000. Now, the difference is the spot between 1,001 and 1,002 is sometimes really condensed. And in the sessions, what they're doing today, I think they just want to make sure you know where your primary read was. And it's much more of a mental thing. And again, we go back to what we started the conversation, making sure you know where to go with the ball, making sure the receiver runs the route right, because sometimes you got drifting receivers, which I don't like. I don't mind it in a quarterback. You drift a little left, a little right. Man, you get a receiver who's constantly drifting. You're supposed to run a 10-yard out. And, man, what are you doing? You're running this thing 13 yards. Oh, first thing a fan say, man, look how bad that pass was. No, it's the receiver, dummy. He ran the route too long. Or they cut it off at 7 or 8 because they don't understand yardage. And sometimes they cut it off or they're a little bit nervous foot-wise. And I think that's the thing with these camps, that once the veterans come in, they want you to be acclimated to the point where you're not going to know what a veteran knows, but they want you to know what you have to do out on that football field, because I'm counting on you as a teammate. I'm counting on you to be that guy, to be in the right place, right time.
Well, it's about reps, right? I mean, it's about and these reps today, just as you say, you know, it's who's going to look back at May 10th and go, ooh, that was important. Did he know his first read? And so it'll be interesting as we go forward and move into mini camp and then the actual training camp. If this is a true 33% competition, you know, which it probably will be initially, but you can't afford to do that all the way through camp, right? I don't know that you can. You know, they're going to have 3 preseason games this year. No, is it 2? What did they do last year? Last year was Arizona, San Francisco, so they had 3. So they're 2 this year, right? Because they have nine road games. So you just don't, like, you got to get a guy ready. right? And we're taking it in this conversation that there is no veteran, right? It's just these three young guys. So at some point, it needs to become 60-40. You know, you got to have to start kind of weeding it out, because that whoever it is, got to be ready. Right? Got to be ready in September.
Mike, we're going to take a break, come back to you, and finish this off here on our special edition of Sports Talk, our Saturday edition. Derek Carr announces his retirement from the NFL today. Also, we talk in a little bit of Saints rookie mini camp, what we're able to see out of that, and some of that's basically a grain of salt. Let's see what happens when they get to the real situation when they come to training camp in the summertime. We'll be back with more of our special edition of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on a special edition of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. The announcement this morning at around 9 o'clock that Derek Carr has retired from the National Football League. And also, it's a rookie minicamp where first opportunity for the guys just to kind of get to know the rookies a little bit and see kind of how they are, how they pick things up. And it's a short look. And, again, it's much more of a mental thing. Have on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, Mike Haas, the voice of the New Orleans Saints. Also, I was just thinking of this. On March 15th, 2023, if I would have told you that Baker Mayfield has now become the senior quarterback in the NFC South in 2025, man, you'd have had the straitjacket out for me. But yeah. How about, it goes to show you how much change it is in the National Football League now, with, you know, with Bryce Young certainly at Carolina trying to get into the groove there. Michael Penix, who saw some action late last year. Now it's either going to be, you know, most likely it'll be Tyler Shuck, but, you know, Spencer Rattler certainly in that mix. But Baker Mayfield, he becomes the old pops of the group in the NFC South. And that's why, man, if you got money, ain't no way I would bet against the Bucs not winning the NFC South again. The stability at quarterback does say something about your franchise. And they hit gold. They were really lucky. They hit gold with that. And they've had some good coaching to help along the way with Baker. But that's a little bit of luck. Because when you look across the league, you know, it's people you drafted mostly. You look at, you know, Lamar Jackson. Or if it's Joe Burrow. If it's Jaden Daniels from a year ago, you can kind of go on and on. It's rare that you sign a guy as a free agent, come in, win over the job, and he has really exceeded expectations more than I think anybody could have thought of.
So go back even further. What if he plays that game with the Rams but lays an egg, right? And that's,
yeah,
that's the game – that really, they said, hey, you know, that's how he got to Tampa, was that game where he came in, knew nothing, right? What if he bombs that game? I don't know where his career is going after that, right? But he doesn't, gets an opportunity. He's not making the most of an opportunity, but you're right. I mean, now he's the senior member. But, you know, that one game, man, did a lot for that young man's career. And they're the top dog, right? You got to knock them off.
Yes, they are. You know, four straight NFC South titles. I'll never forget after the game, Sean McVay in a joking manner, but I think he was trying to tell you something that, hey, look, he comes in here. It's like a one-day, orientation, but I didn't want to clutter his mind, and he didn't have a lot of mind to clutter. And he laughed about it, but I get where he was going with it, with Baker, because that's the type of situation I think Baker, the younger one, flourished in. He was a little bit of a street yard type player. I think he's now become the NFL quarterback today, the stable guy, the stable leader on that team. And you saw his maturity, because you know what? Man, it's humbling. You're the first overall pick in the draft, and you get bounced all over the National Football League? No, that's humbling to you. I don't care how big of an ego you have. That is very, very humbling to you. But it's my thing is not the fall. It's the get up. And I take a look at Tyler Shuck. It's not the falls with him, that things didn't work out at Oregon, the injuries at Texas Tech, kind of the one-year comet shot with Louisville. It was his ability to get up and dust himself off and say, I'm going to show you just how good I am.
Yeah, and that becomes the selling point, right? That becomes, this is his fourth offense, you know, he whatever, bring it on, you know. There's got to be some similarities in those three programs to they may call it something, but it's the same play, right? And so he has experience beyond what a lot of other guys who might have had gone into college, one school, played 3 years, come out as a junior in one system, not, you know, maybe the same number of snaps because of the injuries for Tyler, but he has an experience level that they don't, you know, offensive coordinators and head coaches and coming back from injuries and just, you know, the age thing, as we talked about during the draft, because he and Spencer are just a year apart, you know, and four on the same day, a year apart. So, you know, I think we get too locked up in the age that he'll be 26 at the start. I mean, you know, who cares, right? This team is not in a position or the luxury to look 12 years down the road. It is 2025, 2026. Right now, next 2 years, can you help this team get better? Because that's what Kellen Moore's got to be thinking. You're going to get two automatically. After that, we start looking. So,
yeah, and you look hard after two. You really, really do. One of the things I'll never forget Zach Strief telling me about, and we talked about just getting reps in, and he was telling me, Mike, today, because of the new CBA, and he said, listen, you know, there's good and bad with it, and understand now the seasons now are 17 regular season games, and Mike, you're going to be calling it real quick. It'll be 18. I mean, we just around the corner from having an 18-game regular season in the National Football League. He said the young linemen today, and I think it hurts them, offensive line, defensive line, more than any. He said they get about 20% of the reps I got as a rookie in 2006. 20%. That's telling when you don't get those reps in. And, okay, preseason, man, it's almost like touch football to a certain extent.
Right. And that's why, and, you know, there's 41 players here. And so it's rookie minicamp, but there's nine draft picks. You know, the biggest group of players that are here are tryout players. The guys that are here, right? Donovan Peoples-Jones, yep. Wide receiver, the Tulane, Patrick Jenkins, Travis Martin, DB from Langston, a New Orleans kid. So there's 16 tryout players. There's five under contract with the Saints. And then there's the 11 undrafted free agents and nine draft picks. So of that 41, and you're right, these reps they're important because they're reps. Every rep is important. But, you know, you're dealing with tryouts and 11 undrafted free agents. That's 27 right there of the 41. So you're right. You know, every rep is important. And with the CBA, as we said, you don't think they probably wanted to do more than 1 7-on-7 yesterday and 1 7-on-7 today? I don't know this. I bet it's in the paperwork somewhere, right? It's May, you know? So it's a process. You can do what you can do and get the most out of what you can get out, especially when they do veteran camp coming up in June.
Yeah, I tell this to people all the time. I don't care what profession you're in. You could be a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer. your first day or your first week somewhere, okay, it's different from where you were working before, and it takes a little while for you to get accustomed to it. People say, oh, football is football. Okay, to you, football is football. But not to a guy who walks off a college campus and now is in an NFL camp. Football just ain't football. It looks the same, but how it's, you know, the language of it, what you have to do is totally different from what you've ever done before. That's why the rep work, and I think it really, because you can practice pitching and catching. That you can do. But the upfront work, the grunt work, is really, really tough to duplicate in anything off the field. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate you joining us here in our two-hour special here on the Big 870 WWL. Derek Carr retirement, rookie minicamp. Thanks so much for joining us here this afternoon.
You bet, man. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you all soon.
All righty, Mike Hoss. And Mike, it won't be too much longer. We'll have scheduled release. That'll be Wednesday. We'll be on 4 to 8 here on the Big 870, giving you the full coverage of the scheduled release right here on the Big 870 WWL.